We've all experienced the uncomfortable feeling of being told to move on, to get lost. Maybe it was a school bully, or perhaps it was a job you really wanted, but you didn't get. For Marion West and her husband, Ray West, it was when they bought a house. Let's go back a little bit in time. The year was 1952, and Marion's white, and Ray is African American. They met while they were students at the University of Washington. And students of color had a difficult time finding housing close to the university. So Marion and Ray decided to meet this need. They bought a 16-room old mansion right in the middle of Fraternity Row, just steps from UW's main campus, a place where students, no matter the color of their skin, could rent a room. Marion, who is now 90 years old, recalls how she, not Ray, had to be the one to make the purchase.
Well, it was restricted area at that time, and blacks couldn't buy in that area. And I knew at that time that it was very difficult for non-Caucasians to find housing near the university, and that was very important because more and more were going there.
Word began to spread among friends and fellow students of color that there was a house close to campus that would not turn them away. The house was much more than shelter in a convenient location. In the large living room next to the fireplace, politics were discussed and debated, ideas were shared. There, among the fraternities and sororities, Marion and Ray threw lots of parties that were a little more highbrow than the ones their neighbors put on.
Well, I would say very intellectual, but it sounds very egotistic too. But it was. It was kind of an intellectual center right in the middle of Greek Row. And of course, the interracial aspect was very much a part of that.
Not only were there African Americans renting rooms, people from all over the world called the old mansion home. Students from China, Korea, Iraq, countries in Africa. During all of this, Marion and Ray were starting a family. They had three young children, a boy and two girls. Their daughter, Kathleen West, the middle child, spent the first few years of her life in this international salon of sorts. Her early impression of the world was that everyone looked different and often sounded different, too.
I recall standing in a little hallway and looking into the kitchen and seeing people who I wasn't sure they were Asian, but they had long braids and thongs and traditional clothing, and they were cooking and talking in a language I didn't understand. And I remember just looking at them and listening and trying to figure out what they were saying. I remember a man who, where was he from, Baghdad? And he came down the stairs and told me to shut my eyes, and he told me to open my eyes, and I saw these beautiful silk slippers. They were red with embroidery on them. I remember an African man teaching me to brush my teeth. I liked to watch him brush his teeth because his toothpaste foamed and foamed. It was really rather glorious because there was so much flavor in all of the different languages and clothing styles and everything. It was very harmonious a lot of the time.
All these people playing with you, giving you gifts, speaking these exotic languages. Did you know if they had gone to another house and asked for a room to rent, they probably would have been turned down?
When I was younger, a little child, I didn't know it was a safe haven. I just knew that my world consisted of people that spoke different languages, wore different kinds of clothing, had different hairstyles, and were very intellectual, but I didn't really know about the outside world.
Were you aware of your parents being different colors and the fact that you guys were biracial?
No, I wasn't aware that they were different from each other at all. It just never dawned on me that there was race until I was 5 and I went to school. And people began to ask me questions, which I didn't have answers for.
What did they ask you?
Am I a nigger? And I remember thinking, I don't know, I'll ask my parents. So I skipped into the house and said, Daddy and Mommy, am I a nigger? All the time I was growing up, they never described anyone by their race. They never said so-and-so's coming over and they're white or so-and-so's coming over and they're black. It was always by their name and what issue they were working on. So I was kind of trying to figure it out. And I recall being at a friend's house, and I saw a big map of the world. And on it, it said Nigeria. And I thought it said Nigeria. And I said, oh, that's why I'm a nigger. I'm from Nigeria. I'm going to go home and ask my parents.
Do you remember your parents' reaction when you asked that question?
Yeah, they just stopped and looked at me kind of horrified. And then they just started talking to each other, and I just went upstairs.
As the safe haven of interracial harmony was thriving inside the house, the world outside was not so kind. Kathleen remembers her father, usually a happy guy, would sometimes look really serious and worried when he answered the phone. Her mom, Marion, says that's because a lot of threatening phone calls were made to the house. Some of them were death threats.
Oh, we were not welcomed on Greek Row, as you may imagine.
We'd go out to go someplace, and they'd get in the car, and we'd start driving, and we'd hear this little tinkle, 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 and get out, and there would be cans tied to the car.
We had bad things happen. They threw rocks at the house and firecrackers.
I remember a march outside of our house.
And little harassments like that every now and then.
One of them sounded quite large. It was a cross, correct? Someone burned a cross on the lawn.
That's correct. That was a year or two after we moved in, and the children were sleeping on a sleeping porch right inside from where the cross was burned. That's kind of a horrific thing to happen.
Actually, Kathleen was awake. She heard something outside. It was dark, but there was enough light to see people setting up a wooden cross in the front yard.
And I looked out and saw people actually digging. And I tried to wake my brother. I said, Ray, there are people in the yard. And he said, just go to sleep. Ray, there are people in the yard. Just go, you know, just basically pushing me off. And I said, Ray, there's a fire in the yard. And he woke up at that point, and he looked out and saw this big blaze. And we ran in to tell my parents about it. So I remember that. I didn't understand why it happened. I had no clue why people would do that to us. I remember, it must have been the next day, I remember standing in the foyer of the house, and the students were there, and everyone was there, and talking quickly and nervously, and I was like under the skirt tails kind of thing, and they were talking about this thing out on the porch. Being curious, I tipped the door open, and I wanted to touch it. So I reached my hand out and touched it. It was gritty. And I couldn't understand why they would be so excited about something so gritty and icky on the porch. And they grabbed me. They said, oh, no, she opened the door. And all of these different people, they were all different colors, I remember. They, one hand out of them, just grabbed me back in and shut the door.
Was that the tipping point for you and your husband to get out?
Well, it probably was the beginning of it, yes.
What did your family do after that?
Well, the whole hostility toward us at that time just kind of accumulates, you know, and when you have little children, you worry about stuff like that. So we decided to leave.
Did you lose everything?
Essentially, yes.
The tenants of the house started to get scared. They moved out. The Wests lost their rental income and had to sell. And on top of all of this, Ray lost his job with the YMCA. Kathleen says he was accused of having ties to the Communist Party. The family ended up moving to public housing in Holly Park in South Seattle. Government food filled their cabinets. With three kids to provide for, the family was under a lot of stress. Marion and Ray divorced. But both continued their quest for a more equitable world and kept working for the civil rights movement. Ray was eventually appointed to Seattle's Commission on Fair Housing. He died in 1996. When Kathleen thinks back to the house on Fraternity Row and what her parents did at that time in our nation's history and the price they paid for taking that risk, she's just starting to grasp what a unique experience her parents provided her.
I didn't realize until probably a year ago, how different that house was compared to most houses even in the world. When you're ostracized at school, when you're different from everybody, when you go to civil rights marches and people glare at you, but your parents do it anyway, you don't realize that you were born into a place that was so forward-thinking, right? Until you reflect as an older person and you look back and you go, oh my goodness, this was so different. I feel so honored to have been born into that.
If you'd like to see the West's home in the U District, well, it was torn down and replaced with a new building. It's a fraternity. Several blocks away from that spot is a brand new apartment building with a food bank on the first floor. It's called the Marion West Apartments. It's just for people who are 18 to 24 years old, people who don't have a lot of money, but who could really benefit from an affordable place to live close to their jobs and school.